This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're going to answer a very, very fundamental question: how to be well. That's the title of a book by my good colleague, Dr. Frank Lipman. Dr. Lipman's a frequent visitor here on Intelligent Medicine. He's graced us with his presence several times before because he is a versatile author, and he's written several books, which we've talked about. And he is originally trained in South Africa, but Dr. Lipman came to the United States and completed his residency in internal medicine. He spent part of his time at Lincoln Hospital in New York City, which was quite an interesting place in the 1980s, because it was the place where they pioneered the use of acupuncture in the treatment of addiction. Yeah, way back when. Now we have a big addiction problem, and unfortunately we're not tapping into natural therapies as much as we should be, but originally the work was done by Mike Smith right here in New York City. And while practicing Western medicine, he became more and more aware of the weaknesses and strengths of his training, and then he began to study acupuncture and Chinese medicine, nutrition, herbal medicine, biofeedback, meditation, and yoga. And then he founded the 1111 Wellness Center in 1992. The rest is history. It's a very, very successful medical practice here in New York City. And he's written four books: The New Health Rules, which is a great book. We talked to him about that a couple of years ago. Revive, Stop Feeling Spent and Feel Great Again, and Total Renewal, Seven Key Steps to Resilience, Vitality, and Long-Term Health. And now he's written a great book called How to Be Well, The Six Keys to a Happy and Healthy Life. So welcome. It's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine, Frank.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me.
I have to commend you because you have such a great communication style. And this book is, it's a beautiful book. It's beautifully illustrated. It's beautifully organized. I think it's really a great book for virtually anyone who wants a very complete and comprehensive introduction to the principles of integrative medicine. And man, it'd be great if every doctor in the U.S. got a hold of this, wouldn't it?
Well, let's make that happen, right?
Yeah, let's make that happen. Let's put a copy into every doctor's office in America, because the tips are sensible, simple, clear, concise, and easy to follow. So, first of all, you talk about the good medicine mandala. There are six rings to that mandala. Well, first of all, for our listening audience, maybe a little less acquainted with the concept of a mandala, what is it?
Well, a mandala is used in many traditions, particularly the Eastern traditions, and it's used often as a focus for meditation. It's a way of learning about yourself and how you are part of this macrocosm and part of the world. So it's a tool that's commonly used in many traditions, particularly for meditation. I mean, I have these mandalas all over my office. So, after all these years of trying to work out how Eastern medicine works from a Western perspective, I thought I'd go back to my Eastern roots and try to put all this knowledge I've learned from a Western perspective and put it into some Eastern perspective and concept. So that's how it came about.
And typically in a mandala, there's a central figure of Buddha, but yep, surrounding Buddha is like a series of rings or images, which are sort of like the universe, and you know, it's like the cosmos. And and in your conception, your reconception of this mandala, there are six rings which add up to how to be well. So, you know, obviously the book goes into this in great, great depth, but introduce us to those six rings.
Sure. So as you said, you know, the mandala is a sort of a cosmos on some level with a Buddha in the middle. And so what I did, I put you, the patient or the reader, in the middle, because you know your body better than any doctor or authority figure, and you need to take charge of your health. You need to become the author of your own health story. So I put you, the person, in the middle of this mandala, and then the six, you're surrounded by these six rings, and the six rings are how to eat, how to sleep, how to move, how to protect oneself from all the chemicals out there, how to unwind or relax, and how to connect, connecting to oneself, to your community, and to the earth at large. So I put all, you know, the structure, I had to create a structure, and that was the structure that I created for the book.
And it's a very, very comprehensive structure. It doesn't just, this is not just a diet book. This is a book that's just a comprehensive plan for wellness. So when it comes to diet, tell us a little bit about your own personal evolution, because I find that pretty much on the same page with you in terms of my own dietary philosophy. But I think both of us evolved coming from, you know, perhaps a more vegan, vegetarian, low-fat background, as was so popular in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I was definitely caught up with that, and used to not only eat that way myself, but try to teach my patients to eat that way. And many years ago, doing a blood test on myself, I realized that I was pre-diabetic. You know, I was eating basically lots of grains, lots of fruits and vegetables, hardly ever ate meat and a little bit of fish. And I became pre-diabetic, eating what I thought was a healthy diet. I was petrified of fats like everyone else, because my father had died of a heart attack. My brother had a heart attack. So I was on this, you know, thought fat was going to clog up my arteries, and doing my bloods, finding I'm pre-diabetic. So I changed my diet around, and I became more paleo, started eating meat again, and eggs and chicken, and cut back radically on my grains and my carbohydrates. And lo and behold, my numbers went back to normal. I lost weight without even trying to lose weight. I mean, I didn't even realize how puffy I was. I didn't realize that my energy could be so much better. And that was eating a diet that I thought was unhealthy. And so over the years, I started changing the way I saw how people eat. Now, I don't think there's one right diet for everyone, but for the majority of people that I see, I think this type of eating, a low carbohydrate, a nutrient-dense foods, but lower in carbohydrates, and not being scared of animal protein, especially if it's well-sourced.
And in your practice, you emphasize cleanses and detoxes. So how does that practically get implemented when we're talking about diet? You talk a little bit about that in the book.
Right. So, you know, what I do, you know, what we find, you know, you probably feel the same way. When you're working with patients over the years, you realize that if you can get someone to feel good quickly, then you've got them hooked. So I started getting into cleanses with Jeff Bland, I think in the late 80s, or early 90s. And then I realized that so many people are coming to me with gut problems. So I started incorporating herbs to clean out the gut, and I noticed how good the results were. And over the years, my diet became lower and lower carb. Initially, I would just take people off gluten and dairy and sugar. And then over the years, especially as I realized my mistakes in diet, I took people off all grains, and the diet became lower and lower carbohydrates. So essentially, I'm putting people on a grain-free diet, a very low carbohydrate diet. But at the same time, I'm using antimicrobial herbs to kill the bad guys in the gut and supporting detox function. So it's sort of an entry point. I definitely don't see detoxing as a solution to all problems, but I do see it as a powerful entry point into a healthy lifestyle.
Right. It's a high yield procedure because a lot of complaints right. will disappear. I mean, again, it's not a panacea because people come with complicated, long-term, deep-seated medical problems. But for patients who are, say, pre-diabetic or patients who are experiencing yep. fatigue or gastrointestinal problems, an elimination diet is a good place to start. And also, when it comes to inflammation, you might target certain other pro-inflammatory foods, right?
Exactly. Yep. So, you know, as you said, it's an elimination diet, but, you know, we take out the sugar, we take out all the grains, I take out all the factory farm meats, which I don't think people should eat anyway. You know, we can go into that. I'm sure your audience knows all about that. I take out soy, I take out corn. So, yes, I take out all the pro-inflammatory foods. I even take out nightshades because for some mm-hmm. people, they can trigger inflammation. Not that many, but they're enough that I do that. And I take out eggs as well initially. Not that I think eggs are particularly healthy for most people, but there's a few people that are sensitive to eggs, so I take eggs out as well.
Mm-hmm. It's a fairly common allergen. It's not right up there with dairy and wheat, but yep. you know, maybe second tier for a lot of people.
Yep.
So some foods that you favor, and you actually devote entire pages to these foods. You seem to be a big fan of cauliflower, and you have a recipe for cauliflower rice, which I have to admit I only discovered a couple of years ago as an alternative to grains and as a relatively low-carb thing that yeah. you know kind of is like ersatz carbohydrate.
That's fantastic. I'm a huge fan of cauliflower, particularly you know because of that reason. So, for instance, you can make cauliflower rice or cauliflower mash, and you get that sort of desire satisfied for that starchy food, but you don't get the impact on your blood sugar. So it's a perfect low-carb food. And, you know, for people who like potatoes or rice, mm-hmm. you know, switching out with cauliflower rice or cauliflower mesh is ideal, and people love it.
And I make a pretty mean chicken-fried cauliflower rice.
Right.
And I don't even use soy sauce. I use coconut aminos as a substitute,
yep,
so I don't
exactly.
have to use the soy. Yep. So, you know, there are some ingenious ways around some of these problem foods. Also, you're a big fan of broth, and broth is a you know, big theme these days for, you know, it's all in vogue for its healing properties. What's up with broth?
Yeah, I got turned on to broth by the Brodo guy, Marco Canora. You know, he's, you know, I've seen him as a patient. I go eat at his place all the time. And, you know, to me, my understanding of broth in the old days was just chicken soup. You know, my mm-hmm. grandmother used to make right. chicken soup and use all the bones. And, you know, we lost that. So I didn't really appreciate broth until Marco turned me on to all these delicious flavors that he makes his broth with. And broth is just, you know, full of great nutrients, helps healing of the gut, you know, get nutrients into your joints and your bones. So it's just a wonderful tool. I use it a lot. We recommend it a lot in the practice for gut stuff in particular. So I just think it's a wonderful, easy way of getting nutrients that are generally hard to get into the body.
And simple recipes in the book for how to prepare your own broth. And you like to add some vegetables and some herbs to increase its nutritional value.
Right. So I used, you know, Marco, throughout the book, I have what I call my experts, so people that I trust. You know, I've got David Boulay to help me with spices. Mm-hmm. I've got Seamus Mullen, another well-known chef, to help me with fermented food recipes. You know, I try to create something that is very simple for people, very accessible, and just to not, you know, sometimes people get scared by learning to eat healthily or learning, you know, having to change their lifestyle. So, you know, having worked with health coaches here in my office for years, I realized that if you can guide and support people and show them that it's not that difficult, there's, you know, people are more prone to make the changes. And once they start feeling better, then they don't go back. So a lot of the book is just trying to show people that these things are actually very simple. And these ordinary actions that you take on a daily basis can have extraordinary healing benefits. And we take them for granted. But so many people expect it's only going to be a drug or some major change that's going to make a huge difference to their health. And that's not true. It's little things that you do every day can make a huge difference.
In fact, to quote you, you say, health is the outcome of the small choices we make on a daily basis.
Yep.
So, you know, every day in every way, our patients get a little better if they follow simple lifestyle recommendations. Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and let one of our sponsors share this important message with you. So please listen up. Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information or to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's MyFutureFarm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Frank Lipman. You know, we also, you know, often fixate on calories. You know, going low-calorie diets. You know, we weigh food, we measure food, we look at food on tables. Now they're apps. You have some controversial advice to people about diet because you say don't count calories. Why is that?
Right. I mean, I actually hate telling people to count anything. I just don't. You know, first of all, our body's not a machine or a calculator where you know what comes in goes out. You have to measure that. That's the first thing. You know, food is metabolized in various ways, in different ways with different people. So, but the whole idea of counting anything, I think, creates problems with people when you have to, you know, you need to look at food and enjoy it. And it's not about counting calories. It's not even about counting carbs or fat. I even have a problem with a lot of people in the paleo movement, you know, telling people to count their carbs and have their carbs less than a certain amount. I just think the idea of counting anything detracts from the enjoyment one should get from eating food. Now, I mean, obviously one needs to be aware of the food that we're eating and then you try eat nutrient dense food. But I really like people to get out of their headspace that they have to count anything. Mm-hmm. Just be aware and be aware that the default choices are generally unhealthy in our culture. So you need to make an effort, but counting calories in particular is not the way to go.
You know, I think, you know, part of our task as integrative doctors, as health coaches, is to restore a more natural approach to food for people, because I think we've lost that, you know, the intuitive approach to, you know, what we should eat, you know, if it makes us feel okay, you know. I think a lot of people are disconnected from that, and they simply eat for gratification, for flavor sensations, and they're detached from what should be a balanced, optimal way of selecting food choices.
Yeah, and absolutely. I saw an interesting article recently which sort of fits into the way we see why the common diet has become such a problem. That they reckon with the increase in the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has increased the carbohydrate content of our fruits and vegetables and decreased the micronutrients. Now, you know, we sort of know that the food that we're eating, you know, from this poor soil, the micronutrients are less, but now this article is surmising that at the same time, the carbohydrate quantity of the foods we're eating has increased too. A very interesting piece that I think could explain, you know, more and more of the problems, or one of the issues explaining these epidemics of obesity and diabetes and all the, you know, the problems we're seeing today.
Well, yeah, that kind of squares with the idea that if you're a pot grower, you need to get very bright lights for your basement and some carbon dioxide containers, because in contradistinction to humans who do well on oxygen and not well on carbon dioxide, plants thrive on carbon dioxide. So maybe there's something to
that. Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Gluten-free, you know, that's a big theme in your book. And a lot of people poo-poo that. They think, well, you know, that's sort of a fad. That's sort of like an effete, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, California fad. I mean, what's the importance of that?
Well, I think it's very interesting because most people I see are sensitive to wheat. Now, it doesn't mean they have celiac disease and they can never have wheat, but so many people have inflammatory symptoms or all sorts of symptoms triggered by gluten, in particular wheat. Now, it's probably because the wheat that we grow here has been altered. There's dwarf wheat. But the other issue that I think could be as relevant, if not more relevant, is wheat in America is sprayed with glyphosate in the mm-hmm. drying process. That even, all wheat is now sprayed with glyphosate. Glyphosate is, for the listeners who don't know, is the active ingredient of Roundup that's used in GMOs. And glyphosate is actually also a registered antibiotic, amongst other things. So I think the idea that wheat is not the same as it used to be, and in America that it's sprayed with glyphosate, has made it a problem food. Now, I know so many people, myself included, when I go to Europe and I eat the pasta, I eat the wheat, I don't seem to have a problem. When I come back here, I seem to have a problem. But I hear that from so many people too. So maybe part of the problem is the glyphosate that's sprayed on the wheat. But, both of us, Ron, have been doing this for long enough. I don't really give a damn what traditional medicine or what doctors say anymore. I have to believe what I see every day in my practice. Mm-hmm. And every day I see people feeling better when they give up gluten. So mm-hmm. now that doesn't mean gluten-free products are healthy. A lot of the gluten-free products out there are pure junk.
Yep.
But actually taking gluten, in particular wheat, out of your diet, you get, one of the things that you get, one of the biggest bang for your buck.
Well, absolutely. It's a low-cost... big outcome intervention for a lot of patients. And it's a first step towards wellness for some patients. And I think what we have to do as physicians is stick to our guns and insist that patients try it. We can't tell them to do it for a lifetime if they're not feeling better, but
try it.
You'll like it. And if you benefit from it, you'll sure stick to it, right?
Exactly. My philosophy, exactly.
Okay, this is a good point at which to pause because... we divide these podcasts into two parts. In part two, we're going to expand. We're going to talk a little bit more about the six keys to a happy and healthy life. They're part of a great new book. I recommend it highly if you've got a friend or a relative and you want to offer them a comprehensive introduction to the concepts behind intelligent medicine and integrative medicine. How to Be Well is a great starting point. It's a beautiful book by today's guest, Dr. Frank Lipman. And we'll be right back with part two of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Stay with us.